morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life, including what it says about the spiritual world. We're looking at different passages this week that describe that there are real personal beings who are spiritual forces of evil. They are not flesh and blood. They scheme against us, the devil schemes, and those who are with him, and we are called to take our stand against them. This is one of the stranger teachings in the Bible to the modern ear, but I believe we can trust the Bible. I believe this is a warning we need to pay attention to. So we're exploring that this week. One of the themes we've looked at is that there is an ongoing conflict between Adam and Eve and their descendants and Satan. This begins all the way back in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3. Satan, the devil, schemes to deceive Adam and Eve, to question God's word, to doubt the truth of God's word. He leads them to sin against God. And God says in Genesis 3:15 that there is going to be a descendant. They're going to have children who will have children who will have children. And one day a special child whom the devil is waging war against will crush the head of Satan. And this comes to a climax while Jesus is on earth. All through history, there's this ongoing war between Satan and this coming offspring, these descendants through whom Jesus will come. And so 1 John 3, verse 8 is another passage that talks about this ongoing war. It says, "The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." I want you to think about that. This gives us a purpose, a reason. Why did Jesus come to the world? Why did he who is fully God become human flesh, to be born of a woman? Well, this says it was, according to the Bible, to destroy the work of the devil. Now, we don't typically think of it that way. We think of Jesus coming maybe to go to the cross, to die for our sin, to pay for our sin, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have a right relationship with God. And that's all true, but this verse says the reason Jesus came was to defeat the work of the devil. Well, I think it says it that way because the way that Jesus defeated the work of the devil was by dying on the cross, making payment for our sins so we could be forgiven and have a right relationship with God. What the devil has always been about is deceiving people, making them question God's word, leading them away from God's truth, breaking down their relationship with God. And Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. That's the purpose he came, by providing a way that we can have our relationship with God restored through the cross. So there's this ongoing war that just kind of pops up from time to time in the Bible. It's not, you know, every chapter, every book, but there are these key verses that you can see the Bible describe this history-long battle between those following God and waiting upon God's Savior or trusting in God's Savior after he comes, and the devil and Satan. One of the passages that we need to look at is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. And I'm going to get back into Genesis 6 right now. I introduced Genesis 6 yesterday, and I told you that according to many writings of the first century, while the New Testament was being written, we know what the average Jewish person thought. We know what the average Christian person believed about supernatural beings. And so although the Bible doesn't spell this all out, when Paul, for instance, writes in Ephesians 6:12 that we have a fight to engage in against the rulers, against the powers, against the authorities, against the spiritual forces of evil, he doesn't really explain what he's talking about, but we can look at other sources to understand how the people who first read Paul's letter would have understood this. What were the common beliefs about what spiritual forces of evil were? And a lot of it ties into Genesis 6. In Genesis 6, we read about sons of God who rebelled against God's created order and took for themselves the daughters of men and had children by them. And this was in defiance of God's instruction. These were supernatural beings, sometimes referred to as angels in the Bible, but in biblical times, people had a very developed sense of there being many different kinds of supernatural beings. Not all angels are alike. Some were of a higher rank, some could do more, some were simply messengers serving God. Others were part of what was known as a divine council, supreme spiritual beings that ruled alongside God, and we see a number of references to them scattered throughout even the biblical text. And so 1 Peter 3:19 says that Jesus went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah. So there are spirits who sinned against God in the days of Noah. Who are these spirits? They're the sons of God in Genesis 6. And apparently Jesus, after his death on the cross, sometime later went and proclaimed victory. I believe that's what the text is talking about. He proclaimed victory over these spirits. They had joined in with Satan in trying to deceive mankind, lead mankind astray, and they were imprisoned. Jude 1:6 makes a reference to this, and it's basically quoting from another first century book, not in the Bible, but apparently something given a lot of credibility by the apostles because it's quoted in Jude. Jude 1:6 says, "The angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day." And 2 Peter 2:4 says, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment." Who are these spirits? They are the ones who rebelled against God, had children with human daughters in Genesis 6. That's how anyone in the first century reading these texts would have understood what they're referring to. So they were imprisoned. All right, well then who are the demons? Because when Jesus comes to earth, he's encountering demon-possessed people. He's casting out demons from people. The Jewish understanding, the first century understanding of these beings is that they are actually the departed spirits of the children that were born to these sons of God and the human daughters. They are sort of hybrid, half human, half divine. If you can imagine something, they're in something like that kind of category. They're called Nephilim in Genesis 6:4. This is translated as giants in texts around this time. And it is believed that this is where the giants you read about in many places in the Old Testament, where they come from. When they die, their spirits become the demons that we read about in the New Testament. That was the accepted view of the time. I don't know if you'll agree with that or not. I'm just letting you know that's what people believed in the first century. And it seems like the authors of the New Testament believed in that. So then there's still this question lingering out there that I raised at the beginning of the week. Who are the rulers, authorities, and spiritual forces of evil that we are to wage war against? If the sons of God that rebelled against God in Genesis 6 are bound up in prisons, then they're not around to bother us. If the demons are the giants that were the children here, we'll talk about demons later, but I don't think this is who Paul is talking about either in Ephesians chapter 6. I think that there are some other sons of God who did not rebel against God in Genesis 6, but they do rebel against God at a later time. And here's where we need to turn to the story of the Tower of Babel and Genesis 11. There are actually a number of verses that explain this event, that it is much more than what you might think when you read through Genesis 11 or think of the children's story, the Tower of Babel. There are a number of other verses, even in the New Testament, that talk about this as setting up spiritual powers and forces of evil we need to be aware of in order to know how to fight them. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.